And Father, my God, we bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for predestinated us unto the adoption of sons and daughters through our Lord Jesus Christ before the world began. Chose us in you before the foundation of the world. Oh, we are so glad. We are together with you. Where the morning stars stand together and the sons of God shouted for joy. We won't remember it now, no more than we remember ourselves when we were in our father's loins. When Levi faced that in Abraham, he didn't know himself. Even so are we, oh God, when the mornings are stand together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Father, we thank you this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord of at the appointed time. We brought us forth upon the face of the earth. We thank you for predestining us to live at this end of the age. Oh, showing to all the things that kings and prophets shout diligently what all this end of the time, even that they wrote about meant. And you said us unto them, unto the people, come at the end of it. The salvation to be revealed at the end of time. We are those people according to the scripture and what we have seen happen in this generation. Father, we thank you for blessing us even with the revelation of your word. To others, it is in parables. We say, I will speak to you face to face and mouth to mouth. So we worship you, Lord. Help us to treasure our inheritance and our calling in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To make our calling and election sure in the almighty name of Jesus. Thank you as we read your word this morning. Thou Spirit of the living God, help us to understand it better than we did before. And to get prepared more and more each day. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, making our calling and election sure. This morning, Bible says that, let's touch on prophecy this morning, Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is a prophecy, praise the Lord. So, it is well said and prophesied that we are living in the most prophetical generation, praise the Lord. I tell you of a truth, there is no other generation like this one. So this morning, I want to talk about what the Bible says in Revelation, Daniel 11, talking about the King of the North and the King of the South. Praise the Lord. We are at the end time, and let's just take a look to the audience here this morning. It should not all be strange to us. Nevertheless, the Holy Ghost says to Apostle to Apostle that even if you know these things, still put you in remembrance, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we know that the Bible talks about the time of the Gentiles, right? And the Lord said in Luke 21, I believe it is, the time of the Gentiles coming to an end and so on. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. And scatter all over the nation. They shall fall by the edge of the sword. And be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When did the time of the Gentiles actually start? When was it? Moses warned the children of Israel. Yeah. When you get to that land, if you get to the idols of the people, and you do not focus on the Lord, and you go outside the idol, guess what? King of Israel, I will scatter you out of that land. Moses warned them back then, And guess what happened? Of course, before you know it, exactly what Moses said, the 10 tribes were taken captive by the Assyrians. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And about 100 years or so later, the 2 tribes were taking captives to Babylon, according to Jeremiah prophecy and things like that, So that is where the time of the Gentiles began, when they were taking captives and so on, And Daniel the Apocalypse begin to tell us the issue of the world pre-written, in the book of Daniel and so on that, and Revelation pick it up also and so on. Then Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream and so forth. And I know the metallic image. The head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly of brass and tile, and then the legs of iron, and the toes of iron and clay, foretelling the time of the Gentiles, the last 4 Gentile kings. There are altogether 6 of them. You have the Egyptian, the first one, you have the Assyrian. Then he picked up, Nebuchadnezzar picked up, God showed it to him and so forth, the last 4 of them. So you have the head of gold is Babylon, the breast, heart of silver, Medo-Persia Empire, Then following that you have the burning of brass and so forth. Alexander the Great of the Grecian Empire. Then we go down to the iron leg and so on, that you know. And it was the Roman Empire. I want to pick the last one. Daniel 2:40. And the fourth kingdom. You know, I told you the fourth series, right? After the are still not gone now. You have the Babylon is gone. Medo-Persian Empire is gone. Grecian Empire is gone. And the fourth kingdom shall be stronger as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all this shall it break in pieces and bruise. Verse 41 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with mire clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly stronger and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with mire clay, they shall mingle with themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Talking of the last Gentile empire here. So now, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, of course, of the image showed one circumstance involving the Roman Empire. What was it? It was that it was to be a dual empire. That was Daniel vision showed. In fact, this vision of the Gentile kingdom was so important. The book of Daniel recorded in two stages. Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar and the image, right? And then they were symbolized by the metallic image from the superior to the inferior, from gold degradation to silver to brass to iron and clay. You see, degradation of the Gentile era to the very end of the age. Then Daniel himself, God now showed to him, Daniel 7, now God showed to him the same thing. He just added more information. In Daniel 7, the kingdoms were symbolized by animals, you know. So we get to it in the second and so on. Nevertheless, you know, we are showing we are at the end of the age. Anyway, so let's see now. So, so that it could be a dual empire. This was shown by the two legs of the image. So you have two legs, right? So there will be the same empire, two dual empire, right? Anyway, this was fulfilled historically. It was history written in the Bible, you know, that when Rome was divided into Western and Eastern empires, and with different emperor over each all. It's history, it happened. Daniel foretold it before. You know that last kingdom, the dual empire. You know, you have the two legs, right? So dual empire and so on. Anyway, the dual nature of the Roman Empire was portrayed also, yes, in another circumstances. What was that? In the book of Revelation, pick it up. The feet of the image show the final end of the Roman, or which we want to call it the revived Roman Empire, really, no? So the feet of the image, with its 10 toes, represented the final fall of the empire as a confederacy of 10 kingdoms. And the book of Revelation, the Lord picked it up and show Apostle John in Revelation 13. I want to take the Bible to read about one or two verses in there. So Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Notice that 10 horns there, you know. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy, the Bible says. Now, not only did I go back, Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13, telling you the same thing. And the 10 horns, don't forget the 10 toes of the book of Daniel in the feet, the 10 toes, right? Talking about 10 horns, right? And the 10 horns which thou swearest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. 13 verse say, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So the beast kingdom of the end time is not monolithic. By that I mean not a single piece of kingdom. Not monolithic. The toes were part of iron and part of clay, right? That shows you that kingdom will not be monolithic, you know. In other words, there will be two diverse elements, meaning iron and clay, according to the prophecies of Daniel and so on, are in the empire during the final days of the age. The iron and clay will not cleave together. For this reason, the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken, as the scripture said in the book of Daniel. And I will know as long as these two elements hold together, the beast kingdom is practically invisible in its march toward power. But when the two elements fall out, which they will with each other, the kingdom is weakened and becomes vulnerable. Now, maybe it's a reminder to many. So what do the clay and the iron really represent? Beyond contradiction, the iron stands for fascism and the clay, communism. You see, world history foretold in the Bible. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know that the communism, know that the fascism, Daniel, Apocalypse, forecast these things, you know, many, many years before and so on, you know. So exactly foretold how the Gentile age will end and things like that, you know. So the iron stands for fascism and the clay for communism. Both are part of the beast power of the end time. Now, let's talk about fascism. What does this mean? I want to break it down a little bit for us this morning and see what is happening in the world today. If the Bible is not right on time, accuracy and so on, perfect. Fascism is a far right, authoritarian, and an ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy, subordination of individual interests for the perceived good of the nation. Of the nation or race, is racism too, you know, or race, and a strong regimentation of society and economy. What do I mean by strong regimentation? I mean, it describes the imposition of rigid rules and structures, leading to a highly controlled environment where individual freedom is limited. We are living at that time right now. While history shows that Western Europe had had fascist leaders in the past, such as Benito Mussolini, a dictator of a fascist Italy, we have Adolf Hitler, a dictator of a Nazi Germany. Now, surprisingly, it is noteworthy that this ideology, authoritarianism, right, is now rising up. I mean, raising up its ugly head in other parts of the world today where it has never been named before. Look at what's happening in the US today. Although it won't be part of the beast system, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Look at what is happening in this nation today. People talk, I don't know, the current administration and so forth. The whole world is shaky, right? What's going on? You know, now, why should we not be part of the beast system? It is happening here in a measure, authoritarianism and so on. Look at what is happening for yourself. The only biblical explanation I have for what is happening here in this trend is that the spirit of the Antichrist is preparing the nations to get used to the ideology, meaning authoritarianism, get used to it, in order to make its implementation of the same a breeze when it rises. That's what is happening right now. Well, you see, I don't see any American president who is a friend of the president of Russia in all of history. There may be, I don't know it, and so on, you know. But it will not last, amen? Their friendship will not last according to the word of the living God, amen? I mean, it's a type of, it's not in the system of the Antichrist, but we talk about this later as well, as you know, it will not stand. You know, what, they will separate. You know, so because the Bible didn't say that, you know, as we get to it later. So, 10 kingdoms of iron. We are out in Western Europe. That is the iron in the 10 toes of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Representing a 10 kingdom empire in Western Europe. Though not yet under the Antichrist, you know. NATO, as we all know, has been in the news lately, you know, lately become prominent in the news. Indeed, one of the reasons for the ongoing invasion of Ukraine by Russia, according to Putin, is that a hostile NATO was building up its forces and military infrastructure in Ukraine. That is the reason he gave for the invasion, right? You know. The NATO Defense Pact is, in no doubt, a forerunner of the Western Confederacy, which will form under the Beast power. The Ten Kingdoms are not named in the Bible, but anyone looking at the, you know, at the map of Europe can have a guess, you know, and we can come up with a list if you, you know, I mean, that we are not sure about that. They will come and go to form that Ten Kingdom Empire of Iron and so forth. We can see countries like Germany, Italy, France, Belgium, Denmark, Ireland, Luxembourg, whatever, they have changed their names now, Netherlands, meaning Holland, UK, Spain, Greece, and Turkey, and all of those countries, India. Again, I won't be dogmatic about any of those things. They can come and go to make those 10, 10 kingdoms that from the iron of the of prophecy and so on. Now let's talk about, I say clearly, communism, right? Communism is a political and economic system where the government or the community owns and controls the means of production, things like factories and land, aiming for a classless society with shared wealth and resources, rather than individual ownership. Where communist Russia, as far as we know, is the clay of the image of the ten toes of Daniel. Well, don't be confused now about today's Russia capitalist system. Today, they are almost capitalist, right? That's what Russia is today. But don't be deceived. Why communist Soviet Union, I mean, the communist, the USSR, right, called them there, ended in 1991, right? You know, actually, December 20, 1991. Even then, communist ideologies have, however, not totally come to an end in this new communist, I mean, capitalist Russia. Not really, they are still there. We should not forget that at one time, Russia was a ten-toed empire. After it seized Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, the then Eastern Germany, Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, Czechoslovakia at that time, and so on, Russia. Its national identity, so in summary, is linked to communism for nearly a century, according to historical records, right? And what stops are from turning, I mean, to communism again? If it doesn't turn, it has been linked to communism, so it is clear and something like that, you know. After all, it remains, I mean, even today, you know, remnants of Russia's Soviet past exist in the form of what they call the Russian communists that are still there today, who have a considerable amount of support inside Russia today. What I'm saying is this, don't be fooled that he says it's communist today, I mean, it's a capitalist today, but it has its history rooted in communism. And so that, you know, so that cannot be erased from history, right? Over 100 years, you know, so that clay is still Russia and so forth, and that, you know. So let's move forward now. So we know what the iron means in the toe of the ten, you know, of the image and the clay. Now, the relationship between Russia and the Antichrist can be illustrated by the event of World War II. There was a rapprochement between Hitler, meaning the iron parties and so on, and Stalin in the clay, which was later shattered. is a type of what will happen at the end of time. A similar thing is going to happen at the end of time. That is, there will be a temporary accommodation between iron and clay. The Antichrist, by sheer magnetism and personality, and the power he will receive from Satan, will be able to bring the iron and clay, in a nominal unity, perhaps something on the order of the original Roman Empire, one empire, but two divisions and so on, This combined power of the two empires is represented by the composite disc of Revelation 13. And I take time to read that one. A composite Bible, disc of Revelation 13. Let's go to Revelation 13, verse 1, about 4. I will quickly read that one. If you pay attention enough, And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy, he says. And the beast, watch now, I saw was like unto a leopard, watch those animals. Now I'm going to go to Daniel 7 to see how they match, right? I told you that the same Gentile kingdom in Daniel 2 were represented by the metallic images, right? Metallic image and so on. But in Daniel 7, the same kingdom were represented by animals. It's like the dream of Pharaoh, the dream of Joseph, right? Or the Bible says, he saw the first one, thinking there were seven cows and so on, eating and so on, seven tiny, and then the seven fast one, the fast one ate up the tiny one and so on like that, Anyway, there are two dreams. Joseph said they mean the same thing, Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the same thing in Daniel, 2 and 7. They mean the same thing. Only in Daniel 7, God added more information to Daniel's own dream of the same Gentile kingdoms. Anyway, so we see. Anyway, so, and, verse 2, like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a deer. Watch the names there. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So we are told in verse 1 that the beast, meaning rising out of the sea, has seven heads, right, and ten horns. These ten horns are the same that the Daniel saw in Daniel 7:2. Let me read that one, Daniel 7:2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the sea strove upon the great sea, meaning the Mediterranean area, right? And four great beasts came up from the sea, divers is said, from one another. The first was like a lion. Watch Revelation 3:1-2, right? The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. I don't have to go into the meaning of all these things, but that defeated Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylon, the golden head of Babylon, and so on. So anyway, were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand up upon the sea as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Now, verse 5 says, and behold, another beast, a second, like unto a deer. You see that? The same thing we saw, earlier in the book of Revelation, and so on, like a deer, the composite beast of Revelation 13 and so on. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And it said unto it, arise, devour
much flesh. Now, after this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, look at Revelation 13, 3, 1 and 2, right? Like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads and dominion given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and a strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. See that? They know they are marching what Bible says, and so iron teeth, meaning talking about Rome, right? Iron teeth and so on, that, you know. It devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. See? I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. That we have already got another revelation more added to what we have got before, right? You know, that's an addition now, you know. I know, a little horn. Before whom, there were three of the first horns plucked off by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So now, one notable difference between the 10 horns here compared to what we see in that 13:1 is that in Revelation 13, they now have crowns. You know, what does that mean to us? It means that the wicked reign of the Antichrist and the satellite has begun when Papa John was shown that by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what it really means and so like that, you know. So anyway, moreover, we learn something new in Revelation 13. The head is wounded to death, and its deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. In other words, the event started the old world at that time. You know, the beast is apparently wounded. A kind of his pseudo resurrection took place, you know, wounded to death, and then lives again, kind of the resurrection, and so mimicking, mocking, I mean, the resurrection of Christ and so like that, you know. Anyway, and, you know, and in other words, from that moment on, he reveals himself in a diabolical fury. He now exalts himself above God and seeks to compare the world to worship him. We notice that the beast, as described in Revelation 13, has the attributes and characteristics of all the beasts that have come before him. Like in Daniel 7, which I read, Babylon is likened unto a lion, right? Medo-Persia Empire to a bear, right? And Greece to a leopard. The beast of Revelation 13, 2 is like unto a leopard. I had the feet, and the feet of a bear, you see, and its mouth, as much of a lion, the same thing, only God added more information to it and so on, you know. And so, anyway, in reverse order, this Antichrist kingdom has the combined ferocity and characteristics of all these kingdoms that have gone before it. It will have the elegance and culture of Greece, the vastness of the dominion of the Medo-Persian Empire, and the majesty and the autocratic power of Babylon to be all combined in the Antichrist system and so forth. Having achieved world supremacy, the beast of Revelation 13 shows his true colors. Satan incarnates himself in the beast and institutes a reign of terror on earth, unprecedented in all the pages of history. Now we notice that in ancient, talking about worship, right? The ancient emperors of Imperial Rome received nominal worship of their subjects. Satan's supreme objective has always been to receive the worship of the masses. In the temptation of Christ, Luke 4, which we all know the story of the temptation of Christ, Luke 4, 4, 5 to 8, you can read it for yourself. One of them is that if you just show him the kingdom of the world, if you just bow down and worship me, it has been given to me, he said, and he was right it that was given to him, right? When Adam, you know, when, at the fall, of course, you know, yeah, he took over and so on. That, no, we, no, anyway, so anyway, I say if you just bow down and worship it, it shall all be yours. So you see, he always demanding worship, right? And as we are told in Revelation 13:4, and they worship the dragon, which gives power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, he says. Verse 18 of Revelation 13 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb laid from the foundation of the world. So, through modern science, through modern science now, with your day and my day, you know, something like that, you know, modern science, I'm sure, right? And science invention of our day, we now see how the beast of this end time will be able to secure control over the lives of people beyond anything ever possible in the past. I mean, they have the data everywhere and so forth. Go to any medical center, maybe they can pull your medical record from any of, whether it is a lab coat, whether it was in a, you know, whatever lab, they can pull it off, you know, and it's there. So, so we are nearing that time and so on. It has all the tools in place where you can mark the whole world, really, you know. Even your GPS tells you a lot of things, right? I don't have to know anybody. I can go to Athens today and drive there without being there before. They pinpoint you to the very house. You tell them, tell you by where you are going, right? He takes you right there. They know where you live. See what I'm saying? All is set for the mark of the beast. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Not a depressing message. Lift up your head. Our redemption draws now. As far as we are concerned, amen. The Son of God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, commotion, Luke 21 and so on. We shall hear of war and rumors of war and commotion. But be not terrified, amen. This thing must need to be for. Praise the Lord. The time of rejoicing for the children of God. Blessed be his holy name. Now, so we see now, so we can see all it says now. No one, not even America, will be able to challenge the power of the Antichrist when it comes to power, initially, really, you know. America will most likely be forced into some kind of world confederation in hope of preventing a world nuclear catastrophe. Don't forget, when Putin, invaded, Ukraine, one of the things of Biden is this, there will be no American foot on the ground, right? We don't want to trigger a world, third world war, right? I want to put in whatever they say, right? So the same in Vietnam, America couldn't do anything with its atomic power, right? So the same way, at that time, initially, America won't be able to do anything when the Antichrist takes over. And let me just, so I don't go ahead of my head here. But such an agreement will fail to stave off the relentless march to Armageddon. It won't stop Armageddon because it will be right there. And we are told in Revelation 13:4 that those who worship the beast will say, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See? The beast covenant with the Jews is broken. And idolatrous worship is, I'm summarizing many prophecies here just to tell us the end of the time of the Gentiles is here, really, you know. Anyway, idolatrous worship is set up in the temple at Jerusalem. Let me read that 27 really quickly. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 1 week of 7 years, right? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. That is sick alone, that's right. Even in the book of Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, begin to tell us the same thing. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except their cause is falling away first. Oh my, falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself to be that he is God. There will be a temple in Jerusalem, eh? Called the Tribulation Temple, Revelation 11. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because sit right there. I don't know that, you know. So, and today, they got everything they need to be that temple. They are here today, is that where all the Arab people will rise if they begin to build it and so on. But when the time comes, Arab or no Arab nation, there will be a temple in Jerusalem. You know, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So without how close we are, they got everything they need to be that temple right now, you know. Now the false prophet will institute an economic program whereby no man can buy nor sell without a special mark. Revelation 13:16 says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And the next verse tells us what that number is, which is popular all over the world and so on, that, you know. Now, just what happened next? The period of harmony between the iron and clay. There will be, like I said before in the beginning, there will be the blending of the iron and the clay during most part or at least part of the Great Tribulation. The ingenuity, satanic ingenuity of the Antichrist, you have to bring them together, you know. But you won't stay together only for a while, you know. Satan's ingenuity with him start to make them to work together for some time and so on. And anyway, so now there will be the blending of the iron and the clay during the most or at least part of the Great Tribulation, acting as one power. And as long as the iron and clay hold together, you know, they bid to secure absolute control of the earth. United States, seeing what is happening, see, trembles before the prospect, before the prospect of the terrible showdown that apparently is coming. By then, it will be abundantly clear that it is the beast's intention to eradicate Christianity from the face of the earth. Its ruthless campaign to destroy those who refuse to take his back on the beast and so on, you know, and echoes what happened in the days of Hitler, right? Hitler's brutal and satanic plan to exterminate all Jews during World War II was a type of what will happen at the time of the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist and so on, you know. Revelation 13:7, yes. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now we notice in the Bible absolute control of the whole heart in the ultimate sense is not achieved by the Antichrist, really, not over the world. There is no true unity between the iron and the clay. Like the Bible tells us, they won't live together forever, you know, And fierce rivalries develop between the members of the beast empire, just as Hitler and Stalin during past history and so on, iron and the clay separate and so on. The king of the north will break away and come against the Antichrist like a war wind, causing a shift in the balance of world power. You know, I was starting with the kings of the north and the kings of the south, right? I just told a lot of things by the nose, just around it. So they back to the Daniel 11:40s, if we are. And at the time of the end, you see, mark that, at the time of the end, history prediction, right? The king of the north, the king of the south, push at him, meaning at the Antichrist. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the country and shall overflow and pass over. Let's break it down a little bit. When the king of the south, what was the king of the south? Many prophetic writers believe that is none other than the United States. There is one remaining power on earth that the Antichrist or the beast power has not assimilated or conquered. This is referred to in the same verse I read before in Daniel 11:40. It says, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. What does it really mean? The power is without any doubt the United States. That the U.S. will be in the picture is implied in both Old and Testament scripture. Yeah, U.S. will be involved. I get two scriptures that just implicitly, if at least, tell us that U.S. will be involved. One is in the Old Testament, Zechariah 14:2. For I will gather all nations. Is that all nations? U.S. is part of the nations, right? Okay. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then Revelation 16:13, New Testament scripture, tell you the U.S. will be involved too. And I saw three unclean faces like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the false prophet, the evil triumphant. You see, the three elements of the Antichrist system and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so you can see those two scriptures, U.S. is not excluded, you know, in the final conflict, you know, Armageddon and something like that, you know. But as 14 says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth, and unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So, now, the rise of the Antichrist will pose supreme threat to the United States. Our fears will initially be allayed by the agreement of the Antichrist to possess the Jews. Initially, make a covenant, right? So, at least for 4.5 years of 7 years, right? Make an agreement with the Jews to protect them, right? So, U.S. will be at ease, where? They are Israel's our ally, right? And he starts to protect them, so they don't take him seriously at that time. Anyway, she will, however, I mean the U.S. later discover that she had been deceived when the Antichrist breaks the covenant with the Jews. The U.S. will be the chief opponent of the beast kingdom and all its works during the Great Tribulation. She will break off her relations with the Antichrist, whatever they have before. You know, they may be in the confederation because that will prevent nuclear war and so on that, you know. We break all those things off and so on that, you know. Anyway, she will break off relations with the Antichrist as she witnesses the terrible persecution of the Antichrist. And it's a campaign to exterminate both the Jews and the Christians, you know. Now, she possesses a great arsenal of atomic weapons. The U.S. does. I think the two greatest arsenals are U.S. and Russia, you know, today, of atomic something. But the Antichrist, Bible says, he has power to call that fire from heaven, right? He'll be in possession of atomic power too, you know. So he will have it, I don't know that, you know. Anyway, so she possesses a great arsenal of atomic weapons, but they are useless, just as they have been in Vietnam. Were she to use them, she will invite terrible reprisal by the beast power, whom we are told in Revelation 13:13, and it does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, so the translation will have occurred at this time, and will be gone. Amen. Our brother read this scripture before. I want to have it here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12:5 tell us the same thing. And she brought forth me the church, you know, a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, I mean, unto God and to His throne. There's another verse, I don't have it here, in Revelation 4. The open door. The open door to eternity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it's an open door, and there are seated one, and so on. Like one sat on the throne and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so that's another for the translation and so on. Anyway, in the U.S., the threat of nuclear warfare will result in widespread dispersion of population and the industry. Just try to peek into the future, what will be happening here. These terrible days are described by our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts, filling them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I don't have time to be explaining that. Even what they say, powers of heaven here, I think it has to do with like uranium and so on. I don't want to go into that one, but I just need to idea, you know. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The Bible says, how much he loves his people, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. During these dark days, the U.S., we are trying to just speak into the future, maybe expend much of our energy building anti-missile and other defenses like the Iron Dome of Israel. Maybe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, let me tell you this. The U.S. Army bought 2 Iron Dome systems from Israel at the request of Congress several years ago. The purchase was meant to fill a gap in cruise missile defense while the U.S. Army developed a longer term countermeasure for various air and missile threats. But during the invasion of Israel in October 7, 2023, by the Hamas people and so on, so those 2 Iron Dome missiles were returned back to Israel to help them. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, the future is here, brethren, you know, and everything is just set in order. And of course, the bride is preparing to fly, to be cut off and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so we see, suddenly, let's end up this weekly. Suddenly comes the water of a rift, that is a rift in the beast power. Iron and clay will meet together forever, going to separate. Russia and the Antichrist have become enemies. But Russia will not strike at the Antichrist directly. What does he want? Rush. And our horde, sir, will move southward towards the Holy Land that she has coveted so long. Oh, you know, one of our foothold, Syria, is in shambles, right? Mm-hmm. Now it has Iran. Oh, it does say U.S. Don't threaten Iran with any nuclear bomb they were selling, because that's one of his foothold, right? That was Russia is saying, I don't know that, you know. Anyway, so he has hired his eye on Israel from day one, you know, and now, so he's going to be going, still he's going to get to them at that time and something like that. Calm down. One time, maybe 10 years ago, I distributed a stamp, the Russian stamp, that showed horses and so on coming directly from Russia down to Palestine, you know. Anyway, so the Antichrist, apparently unprepared for this sudden move, we rapidly gather his forces for a counter-attack back to Daniel 11:44 as we round up this king of the north and so on. So Daniel 11:44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him in the Antichrist. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Well, when he say east, that means China, I believe so. North, Russia, the tidings from the east, right? And from the north. That's why Russia and China, they are in alliance, right? So we know that even in Revelation 16, the kings of the east, we call the Euphrates, right? That's Revelation 16, we know that, you know. So anyway, this sudden turn of events causes the U.S. to seize the opportunity to move against the beast powers. She is not pleased that Russia intends to overrun Israel. No. She's not pleased at all. And swallow her up. But her first preoccupation is to destroy the Antichrist. While Russia comes from the North, America and Great Britain strive for the South. That's why we know that America and Great Britain fulfill the role of the King of the South. No doubt, the King of the North is none but Russia. Show me another power, another nation in the North but Russia. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are living in reality of final prophecy concerning the Gentile age and so on that, you know. Now, let me just finish this in case those who are not here last Sunday. Despite all, look at what is happening with the tariffs going on here. Now, I'm talking about meltdown, economic meltdown, right? And $6 trillion lost in 2 days because of the tariffs, right? The economic collapse, right? Getting ready. Bible says that is 835. It will cause property to prosper, right? So one economy collapsing is an opportunity for him to rise. The strong man who can make everything right again. So look at in just 1-2 days, $6 trillion lost. People who have their savings and so on, their retirement and so on, gone. We don't know. Telling us 1929. The crash, wars are coming just before the Antichrist rises and so on that, Despite all these things, like I said, Bible says, don't be terrified, amen? God will supply the need of his children. See? Now, the Lord commanded the ravens to feed Elijah at the beginning of a 3.5-year drought that the Lord told him to declare over Israel. Last Sunday we talked about God, the God's resources are inexhaustible. You can't exhaust God's resources, amen? Praise the Lord. They are inexhaustible. So Elijah is type of the translation says, right? God supernaturally met his needs. If need be, God will do the same thing for his leg as we near the translation. Praise the Lord. We do our best in our trade, but where there is a need, God is there for us. And we know that Elijah, thereafter, the Lord, even when the brook, he commanded the ravens to feed him. Ravens, yes, to feed Elijah and so on. And then when the brook dried up, like we read last Sunday, the Lord commanded, he commanded the raven. The same Lord commanded the woman, amen. He will command all things in our favor, amen. Praise the Lord, to work for us. Praise the Lord. What you do for us, he commanded the answer of that, the economy of the world and so on. You are going to have favor. In the early church, the Bible says that, and they went from house to house breaking bread. And they were having favor with all the people. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Your favor is children, even the terrible hours as we near the rapture and so on. Anyway, the story of Elijah and so on. Don't forget the miracle of the inexhaustible barren. The woman said, well, to Elijah, all I have with me is a handful of meal in a barren. And a little oil in a cruise. Ready to make a last meal of it and die with her son according to her and so on. But when she granted Elijah's request to make him force a cake out of the last meal that she has, what happened to her? The Bible tells us that the barren of me became inexhaustible. Amen? Amen. Yeah, God, because it cannot be exhausted. And she, in 1 Kings 17:15, and she and Eve, meaning with Elijah, and her house did eat many days. I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to bring out a point here by the grace of God and so on that, as I finish up here and so on. 1 Kings 17:15, they ate many days to the end of the famine. God inexhaustible resources, he said the same God. Now another widow, in the days of Elisha, the prophet and so on that, she was a widow of, that is in 2 Kings, about chapter 4, I believe it is, and so on that, she was the wife of one of the sons of the prophet, Elisha mingled with them, he even taught them. Our husband was gone. And the creditors tried to take her 2 sons for bondmen. And she cried to Elijah, amen. That was the prophet in the land, amen. Mm-hmm. She cried to the prophet and saw, come and see what happened to me. And the prophet said, what do you have in the house? That is in 2 Kings, by chapter 4, verse 3 and so on. And she said, only a pot of oil. Then the prophet told him, you know what? Go around your neighborhood, borrow vessels, not a few now, see? Borrow vessels and so on. And when you have come to your house, lock your sons together with you, and that's your pot of oil that you have. Begin to pour into each vessel, you know? I'm talking about the inexhaustible resources of God, all about the Bible, right? And we are told, 2 Kings 4, 3, and so on, that you know. And as you begin to pour, verse 6, and as you begin to pour and pour and pour, and until the last vessel that the brother was full, then the oil stayed, amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, amen? If he has gotten, I don't know, 1 million barrels, the pit was need to be filled, amen? God, resources are inexhaustible. Praise the Lord. I'm talking of what you need to be doing for his elect as we near the translation. You want to put big examples out and so we just set our mind and believe the Lord, amen? Anyway, now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Our Lord fed 5,000. And that is in Mark 6, 42 to 43. And they did eat and were filled. And they took off 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. That's why the Mark 6, the gospel and all of that, you know. Not only that time, another time, our Lord fed 4,000 from 7 loaves. And I know I'm reading these verses, you know, read last Sunday, but I'm going to say something now. 7 loaves and few small fishes. So in Mark 6 to 8, and they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that were left 7 baskets. Now, all over the Bible, I say God's resources are inexhaustible. Now, Malachi 3:10. I want to read that also. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith. Tell the Lord, of course, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In inexhaustible God's resources. Praise the Lord. And I will rebuild the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the feast, the Lord of hosts. Amen. We notice in all this situation, why the Lord just tell me to pick them out. They had to have something, right? They had to have something. You know, the woman with Elijah had a meal and an oil, right? The wife of the son of the prophet has a pot of oil, right? Is that right? Even the miracles of the Lord. A little boy's lunch. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that, you know, and loaves of bread and fishes and so on. They have to have something, right? You know? And so we know. So, now, like I said, the handful of meal, and this is the last thing I want to say here, the handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, only a pot of oil with the wife of the sons of the prophet, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or the 5,000, and you know, and the 7 loaves and a few small fishes. Now, are all these things indication that we should always have something in the house, a food item in the house? Why did they have to have something in the house? They may praise the Lord. So what would that mean? Is the Bible telling us something here that is just implicit and so on? Well, that we should always have something in the house just in case of economic catastrophe in the land. Always have something in the house. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let the hearer in prayer discern what this really means or what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. I'm not saying anything, but what the Bible says, praise the Lord. So let the hearer in prayer discern what the will of the Lord is in this matter, how they all have something, you know, that God can multiply. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of perishable items. Look at where the economy is going. We don't know. So, but just a thought again. Let the hearers this morning decide in prayer what God. Now, let me read 2 scriptures here. Let us stand to our feet and read 2 scriptures here this morning, and then we'll close from there. Psalm 23, verse 1. Let us all stand to our feet and proclaim the word of the Lord to our feet this morning. I want us to read together and then we close from there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter, our economy, not tied to man's economy. Praise the Lord. Tied to the promises of God. To Psalm 23 verse 1. Are you all there? Say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Last time again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Last scripture here, I'm going to read it. Philippians 4:19. Let's all go there. Philippians 4:19. Where you say your God, you say my God. You put your name, my dear, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Then we read that 3 times. Then we close from here. Praise the Lord. That's in Philippians 4:19. Are we all there? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's go. My God, my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Two more times. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Last time. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, you shall have whatever is said, amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great goodness. Oh, Bible says he cares for us. Bible says casting all our cares. I believe in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. He has the earth of our number, of our head numbered. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. I will never live in opportunity. That is to say the Lord is our helper.
Yes.
In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for making us understand the sign of the signs. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to be ready. The Lord will supply. The Lord will provide.
Amen.
He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We worship you.
Amen.
As we go this morning, meditating upon these things, Lord. Discerning the time, for the days are evil. We are talking, the Bible says, this present evil world. When God says it, an evil world, he meant it.
Yes.
Let us live one day at a time. Take note of the thought of the morrow.
Amen.
The morrow shall take thought of his own self. Sufficient unto each day are the evils thereof. Father, we thank you. The word of wisdom. No man ever spoke like this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where shall we go? Down for the heart, the word of eternal life. Blessed be his holy name.
Amen.
The word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we worship and we thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
He went away and coming that is coming back again. It's coming back again.
Our
Lord is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again.
Are you expecting him?
We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. And we know he'll soon again. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. And we know he'll soon again.
Where is your calling?
He may come in the morning. He may come in the evening. He may come at any time. And we know you soon again.
Hallelujah.
Expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. And we know you soon again.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Corporately this morning, as you instructed us in the scripture, Luke 21:36, help us to watch therefore and pray always.
Amen.
Father, account us worthy at our household to escape all these things, Lord,
Amen.
And to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
Have not forget the word of the law in your patience, protecting your soul. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep for the hour of temptation. Because to try all, I did upon the face of the earth. I can't just worry to be patient. Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband man himself, you know, waited for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it. Until we see the early and the later rain. Father, we thank you that in our patience we possess our soul. Blessed be thy name, O Lord.
Amen.
Let patience have a perfect work. Let it be entire and a perfect and wanting nothing. Because the Lord supply them.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
As we share the grace.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. Be with you all.
Amen. And amen. Praise ye the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Your week is blessed in Jesus' name.